Cascade Hoops Talk, bringing the world NAI basketball one podcast at a time. Cascade Hoops Talk, this is Billy D. Well, it's Monday morning, it's a new week, and guess what happens this week? We have the NAI Softball World Series going to kick off on Thursday. We thought it'd be a great opportunity to get Reagan and Taylor from NAI Softball. You see them on Twitter. They are the source for NAI Softball news, and they're going to be covering the NAI Softball World Series down in Columbus, Georgia this coming week. So we thought it'd be a great opportunity to get them on, talk about softball this season, but also preview the upcoming World Series. I think you're really going to enjoy it. I want to tell you before we start, make sure you go to their site, listen to their podcast if you want a quick primer of NAI softball going into the World Series. They have done some great stuff this season. So why don't we give a listen to Taylor and Reagan? One quick note, there was some static in the line a few times. I tried to edit it out. I couldn't. But we were doing two phone lines, three different locations. So I apologize for the static, and I don't think it affected ability to understand or hear. It's just a little bit of a distraction here and there. So I apologize in advance for that. But let's listen to Taylor and Reagan from NAI Softball talking NAI Softball. Hey, this is Bill, and I got Reagan and Taylor from one of the great sites for NAI Softball, NAI Softball. And Reagan, tell us the Twitter at and where people can find you.
Yeah, you can find us at NAISB underscore on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find us on anywhere that you listen to podcasts, iPodcast, Spotify, etc. At NAISB.
Well, I got to tell everybody listening that I reached out to Reagan and Taylor kind of as a just see what would happen so fans could hear just a bit more about NAI softball around the country. And they got back hold of me into it about 10 minutes. So a couple stand-up guys. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate the time.
Hey, absolutely. Taylor can speak a little bit here in a second about his experience in the NAI. But, you know, I'm still a NAI student athlete myself, play football at Weber International University. And you know, him and I, we're all about growing NAI athletics, and you are a pro's pro. You're one of the best with what you do with NAI basketball and in the Cascade Conference and with Oregon Tech. And, you know, we really appreciate, you know, being here.
Well, why don't we, Taylor, why don't you talk a little bit about your background? Reagan, you really started this with Suncast, and then it's grown out from there. Taylor, what's your background? How did you get into this?
Yeah, so I played baseball in the NAI at Southwestern Christian University in Oklahoma. It's in the Sooner Athletic Conference. And through that, obviously, I saw great talent in the baseball world, basketball, and in softball, of course. Being in Oklahoma, softball is kind of the biggest sport, if you will. And met Reagan last year through, like he said, Weber International. He was going to the Softball World Series down there in Columbus, and we had spoken about the Weber baseball team previous, and after the Softball World Series, me and Reagan kind of had the idea together that we wanted to start something that would help grow NAI athletics and the sport of softball itself. As we both know, I mean, there's so much talent in every NAI athletic institution, and a lot of it goes unnoticed. And we're just here, much like yourself, just to help grow the game. That's our motto.
So, guys, I got to ask you, I know you did during the regionals, I know you guys did about 22 hours a day, it seemed. What were some of, Taylor, I'll start with you. What were some of the highlights and surprises for you during these NAI softball regionals?
Oh, there was, countless surprises. Me and Reagan had spoken previously. A lot of results that we had saw over this past 3 days did not make us look very intelligent, I would say. plenty of it being here, I was fortunate enough to go to Oklahoma City to cover all of their games in their opening round. They were the one seed in that, and of course got upset
right
by the Midland Warriors, who were out of the GPAC. But other than that, I mean, Reagan can speak more on the site he was at down there in George Gwinnett. I mean, there was some high level softball throughout, and a lot of surprise upsets, believe it or not.
Before we go over to Reagan, Midland, just watching the line scores, it seemed like they're very good.
A very balanced lineup. They have arguably the best 1-2 power hitting duo in the country, with their third baseman Ronnie Foote and shortstop Carly Fitzer have combined now for, I believe, 30 home runs on the season. They played a really big part into getting the Midland Warriors to the World Series here next week, and making one of the bigger upsets that we saw over these past 3 days. The pitching was really good. They have a really good pitcher named Aaliyah Rincon. She really shut down a lot of great lineups over these last 2 weeks, and has put themselves in prime position to really continue their hot play down the stretch here and take that into Georgia.
So, Reagan, what about you? You were at where was that Georgia regional?
Yeah, so I was in Lawrenceville, kind of right there in between Athens and Atlanta at the campus of Georgia Gwinnett. And, I mean, just real quick, I mean, Georgia Gwinnett, beautiful campus, excellent athletic department there. And it was an incredible opening round there. Georgia Gwinnett, the host team, did end up winning. But, you know, all four teams there put on an excellent show. St. Mary of the Woods was, you know, they were a four seed that I think a lot of people had kind of written off. Now, unfortunately, they were that team that did end up going 0-2. But, I mean, they got up on two really, really good teams down here in the Peach State. You know, Georgia Gwinnett, they got up 1-0 against them in the first inning, and Gwinnett bounced back. I'll speak a little bit about that here in a second. But even in their second game against Coastal Georgia, another really good Sun Conference team that I've covered for the last couple of years. You know, it was one of those things where St. Mary was just, you know, they kind of ran out of pitching, ran out of gas, maybe, if you will, against a really experienced side in the Mariners out of Brunswick. But I got to see one of my favorite young pitchers in the NAI, Savannah Bravo, for the Indiana Tech Warriors. You know, the program, athletic department, you're obviously very familiar with, covering NAI basketball. But, you know, Savannah, she pitched very well. I mean, she went toe-to-toe with Coastal Georgia as that three seed and ended up getting the win in day one in Lawrenceville. She pitched 8 innings of 1-run ball. I mean, hey, not too bad for a freshman making her postseason debut. But, you know, it was George Gwinnett, the winners. They went 3-0. But a point that we made on the episode of NAISB, Josh Robbie, kind of our World Series preview / opening rounds that we were at recap, you know, Gwinnett fell behind in all three of their games early on, and they responded very well. And, you know, they're a team that has some senior leadership with Sidney Pelias behind the plate, of Liam McFadden as well, but they're also a young team. And the way they were able to respond in Lawrenceville gives me a lot of confidence in the Grizzlies heading into Columbus.
You know, the one bracket that surprised me a little bit was, I think it was Baldwin City, where you had College Idaho, and I believe they were 6th in the nation, and Baker. And I looked at that, and I thought, well, whoever comes out of that is going to be tested big time. And of course, yes. Baker came out of that. It just seemed, did you guys notice that? That seemed like an odd to have both of those in that same pairing, or that same regional.
You know, when we first saw it, it was kind of surprising. Pretty much everybody had, you know, outside media or fans, whatever, they had kind of penciled in College of Idaho being the one seed at Freed Hardeman in Henderson, Tennessee. But with Central Methodist tying with Baker in the regular season, and then Central Methodist winning the Heart of America tournament, it'd have been, you know, really tough for the ratings committee, or not the ratings committee, but for the selection committee, right, to have, you know, Central Methodist as a two seed and then have Baker as a one seed. And I think that that was a big factor in having, you know, College of Idaho be the one seed in Baldwin City. But you hit the nail on the head, my friend. Whoever came out of that was going to be battle tested, and you know, hand up, we did pick College of Idaho to win it. You know, really good pitching, some a great coach. We love Coach Al Mendiola. I mean, he's been there for 17 years with the Yoke softball. Great coach. We had the privilege of having him on along with Coach Doss as well. They both come on NAISB. Two great coaches, and they battled it out, and they that first game. So a little bit about Baker University. They have, you know, arguably the best pitcher in the country, and she's a freshman, Kira Baker, who actually threw a no-hitter against IU Southeast to kick off the Baldwin City opening round. But in the first game that they played, so they both won their first games, and then that second game they faced her in the winner's bracket. Kira Baker, you know, she has a solid three innings, but has a little bit of trouble finding the strike zone with six walks. And it was the veteran, you know, Skylar Gorrell, who would be the best pitcher on 95% of the teams in the NAI, who came in and shut them down and put themselves in the winner's bracket, which ended up being huge. You know, starting off 2-0, because College of Idaho, they did bounce back, win, and they ended up beating Baker to the force that, if necessary, that kind of seventh game. They're not kind of that seventh game. And, you know, Kira Baker, once again, she did give up. She had one mistake. She gave up a three-run home run. But, man, I mean, she shut down. I mean, Taylor, I'll let you talk a little bit about College of Idaho's lineup. But, I mean, I think the Yotes have a top 10 lineup in the 2023 NAI softball season.
I agree with Reagan's point there. I mean, it really was, like you said, a really tough bracket. College of Idaho, like we had said all year, is a really, really good team lineup-wise and in the circle, too. And for a team, like you said, a team like Baker to come out with some youth in that and come out victorious, it really was, like you said, they're going to be really, really tested for sure, taking out a really, really good College of Idaho team out of the Cascade.
One of the day one big surprises to me here being out west was Southern Oregon losing there in Ashland. Kind of shocked me, but give them all the credit in the world. They dropped down to the elimination bracket and made it all the way through. They showed some grit, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely they did. You know, Southern Oregon's a great team with one of the most exciting players in the country, Riley Donovan. I mean, batting .444, 42 walks. You know, she's gotten Barry Bonds treatment this year. She's eclipsed the 20 home run mark in Ashland this weekend. And like I said, she's knocking on the door of 90 RBIs, which is no small feat whatsoever. But, yeah, I mean, we talked about Georgia Gwinnett earlier being a battle-tested group. Southern Oregon certainly against a really good Reinhardt team who, you know, if I could invest stock and just about any team right now in NAI softball, or at least heading into the 2024 season, I think it would be the Reinhardt Eagles with a really, really good first-year head coach who built up a great career at Lindsey Wilson before making a short drive south.
Yeah, and then for them to have to come all the way out to Ashland, and as you said, they really performed well. You know, Oregon Tech fans are going to shoot me if we don't talk about the Owls a little bit. It seemed like they were red hot and rolling all the way through. And I can't remember her first name, but Summers for St. Xavier on that last day. You know, the Owls have one of the most powerful offenses in the country. And I believe she held them scoreless for 10 innings on that last day. You know, that's the way it is in softball. It pitching can just carry you through anything, can't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, hey, that's something that I've really come to enjoy and really fallen in love with the game of softball is the pitching aspect of it. And, you know, Reinhardt, St. Xavier, no exception. I mean, a very tough, gritty team, an underrated team. I mean, they were a team last year that went to Lawrenceville and, you know, kind of shook things up a little bit there. And it was not – I would say it was a little bit of a surprise for them to beat Oregon Tech, but they were a four seed that, hey, they forced that if necessary game. And we were kind of like, are we going? And it was funny because one of our partners, Brandon Carpenter, had said, wow, we got pretty much all 1 and 2 seeds heading to Columbus. And then then St. Xavier ended up taking the lead in that elimination game. It was like, Karp, you just had an incredible jinx right there, but it ended up, ended up not being too much of a jinx.
I can tell you that there was a few feet tapping there around that point, and it was like, oh no. one thing about that Owl offense, once they get rolling, they're really, really hard to stop. I mean, they can put up a lot of runs in a hurry.
Yeah, absolutely. Oregon Tech, I mean, me and Reagan have talked about all season, it's been a very, very unpredictable year starting from February up until now with a lot of shuffling up at the top. And obviously we saw Oregon Tech kind of take command of that number one spot a little over the halfway point in the season. And like you said, I mean, they're a very complete ball club. And it starts with Kayla Mick. Of course, Kayla Mick has been one of the best players in the country, not only this season, but the season before. And she spearheads, like you said, a great, great Oregon Tech offense. And then, of course, Mackenzie Staub and Casey Schmidt, too, with what they do in the circle. It shows why Oregon Tech's been a dominant program in the world of NAIA softball for the past couple years. And they really did show a lot of grit going up against a really scrappy St. Xavier squad that was definitely not backing down from the challenger going up to the number one team and almost defeating them.
Yeah, Kayla Mick, I don't know if you guys know this, she's a real fan favorite. She's local, not only just local, I mean multiple generations local there in Klamath Falls. And she's got her mother actually played at Oregon Tech, and her sister is coming up right behind her. There'll be Mick around, and then her dad, of course, is the assistant coach. So it's Mick wild with Oregon Tech softball.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of having her on earlier in the season. And when we were doing our research, we did, just happen to come across her mom. I mean, I believe in the 90s, I believe, was when she played there. I believe the mid to late 90s was when she played for Oregon Tech. I mean, she was one of the best two-way players in the country, both with the bat and with the circle. I don't have her stats pulled up right in front of me, but she was very formidable for a couple of years for the Owls.
Yeah, so she, as I say, she had a couple of big hits against Northwestern. Just when the Owls started kind of putting things together, she popped one to over left field wall, and that just kind of ended the game for Northwestern. But yeah, like I say, she's a big fan favorite. Great family.
TikTok famous too.
I'm sorry?
She's TikTok famous. I don't know if you knew this, but she's got about 225,000 TikTok followers.
I had no idea. No idea.
Yeah.
Now, that's okay. You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to the bracket. And just real quickly, we talked about Central Methodist and Baker. Baker, I don't want you to pick, but that's a 9-8 game, but... Well, just talk about the game. I'm not asking you to pick games, but Taylor, why don't you talk about that game?
Of course, and with two conference opponents matching up in the World Series, obviously two teams, they're going to be extremely, extremely familiar with the other, and they're both coming out of the Heart of America Conference, which I think is by far the deepest conference with all 14 teams in the country being so competitive like they are. And we see that with, of course, we mentioned Kira Baker and the Baker Wildcats with Coach Goss. And then Central Methodist has been a true staple in the Midwest for softball and almost every other athletics that they take part in. Central Methodist has a really, really potent lineup. It starts with Madison White, who's their shortstop. She's the defending Heart Conference Player of the Year from 2022. They, much like Kira Baker, they rely heavy on an incredible freshman arm. Central Methodist does, and Jordan Ball, she has really, really gone unnoticed, I would say, on a national scale, but has put up some incredible, incredible numbers and was a big reason as to why Central Methodist ran through the Henderson bracket and punched their ticket. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be an incredible matchup, like you said, in the 8 and 9 matchup there. With, like I said, two conference teams, they're definitely going to be scouted heavily well. Just going up against each other. I believe this will be their fifth matchup this season. It's going to be really, really exciting. And as far as an 8-9 matchup goes, it's going to be right up there with some of the best matchups that we're going to see on day one out in Columbus, Georgia.
So, Reagan, this Southern Oregon, Georgia Gwinnett game, we talked about both these teams already, but that's got to be the big game of the first day.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about it. I mean, that is the – of course, all of the games in Columbus are must watch this next week. But of the guaranteed matchups on day one, I think that's the one where if you have to pick one game to say, hey, I want you to see what NAI softball is all about, it is that one. And the reason for that is you have, in my opinion, the best hitter in the country for Southern Oregon, Riley Donovan, going up against the best pitcher in the country and Annalise Wood, who's thrown not one, not two, but three perfect games this year. And I actually had the privilege to be on the call at Weber International for her fourth no-hitter, where she threw a 17-strikeout no-hitter. And if it weren't for Rise Ball coming up and just clipping the elbow guard of one of our hitters, she would have had her fourth perfect game of the year.
My goodness. Say her name again. That pitcher?
Annalise Wood. Annalise Wood, she's a sophomore. She transferred from Bryan College this past year. We had her and Coach Cat on earlier in the year as well. That's another with Kayla, like we talked about earlier, that's another excellent interview. Highly recommend y'all little plug here. Highly recommend y'all go listen to that interview with her and Coach Cap.
This is one that's interests me because Cumberland's Science and Arts. Cumberland's is a 3 seed. Science Arts is a 6. But you cannot bet against Science and Arts in Columbus. They're playoff tough, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, Coach Jaden Wallace there in Chickasha, this is their 7th appearance in the NAI World Series this year. She's built one of the best programs consistency-wise in the country. And this year, too, I mean, gone are the likes from USAO of Emily Cerny, who put together one of the most storied careers in NAI athletics. But this young team that they have now, it is really nothing to look past to. I mean, as a 6 seed, maybe a little bit lower on the seeding than they are used to being down there in Columbus. But like you said, they're playoff tough, and it starts with Coach Wallace and the culture she's built. This is a really, really young USAO team. I've gotten the privilege to see them a lot this season, being in the same state and throughout past seasons as well, with them being such a great program. And The young but experienced will show up. They have a great sophomore pitcher named Sophie Williams, who was behind Emily Cerny last year at the World Series and put together some incredible performances in the circle. She has really turned into another gear down the stretch here. It's a huge, huge reason why they're back in a familiar site in Columbus and going up against, in my opinion, one of, if not the most complete teams in the country, in the Cumberland Patriots. They do it all. They have an elite trio of starting pitchers in Tally Burgess, who is the conference pitcher of the year, Katie White and Morgan Radford, as well as a 1 through 9, a very, very senior heavy lineup and a very, very potent lineup at that. That one under the lights too. It's going to be set for a great atmosphere, and I know those two teams will definitely come ready to play.
Taylor, I think you were the one who got to see Midland play. Midland's going to be taking on Marion. Of course, Marion out of the Crossroads, GPAC Crossroads matchup there. We talked about Midland a little bit. Talk about that Marion team.
Yeah, so, you know, Taylor talked about earlier Carly Fitzer and Ronnie Foote, arguably the best duo hitting-wise in the country, and you're not going to get too much of an argument for me either. Like you said, 30 home runs, over 100 RBIs combined. However, if you like a little bit more average and contact-wise, I think you can make a very strong case for Kaitlyn Phillips and Savannah Harwiger for the Marion Knights. I know Kaitlyn finished the year batting over .550. I believe Savannah was just a couple of ticks under .500, but I mean, still, I think she was like .490, maybe even a couple ticks above that. Yeah, .490. I just have it right here. Yeah, .490 on the year with 31 stolen bases. When you have that level of production at the top of your lineup with a big bat like Sierra Norman, who has 10 home runs and 53 RBIs on the year, you set yourself up for numerous RBI opportunities. Now that sets up a very, very good matchup with, and again, we don't want to guarantee anything for the people, but a pretty good chance we see Leah Rincon, who has been an excellent pitcher for the Midland Warriors this year, especially down the stretch. And it's going to set up a really good matchup in the circle with her, along with Olivia Stunkel as well.
A lot of good softball teams. Now, a team that we conspicuously haven't talked about is OLLU, Our Lady of the Lake. They are good. They got a bye in the first round. Talk about that team just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go ahead and go first on them. Also, another team that we had the privilege of interviewing earlier in the season with their two-way standout and what many believe is the best two-way in the player in the country, and Cassandra Valdez, hitting over 400, believe an ERA under 2.5, over 200 strikeouts. Our Lady of the Lake has, I want to say, around 72 home runs as a lineup this year, which is an absurd number to think about in the NAI. And they're not an offense-heavy team. I mean, like I've said, with Cassie Valdez in the circle, too, she is one of the best arms in the country. Angela Ramirez as well backs her up. They actually had to fight their way, much like Southern Oregon, out of the loser's bracket down there in San Antonio, falling to Campbellsville out of the Mid-South, who was just under Cumberland's there in the standings, as well as Hope International out of the GSAC, and had to go against, much like Annalise Wood and Kira Baker, Allie Puente, who led the country in strikeouts this season a 394 Ks and a 0.65 ERA at 30-5. And like I said, they had to beat her back-to-back games, and that is no easy task. And that lineup in the first matchup against her was only held to three hits and got shut out, which is very common for a lineup as potent as Our Lady of the Lake. But their lineup, too, once again, I mean, 1 through 9, truly, any one of them can take you deep and beat you by themselves on any given day. And when that lineup is rolling, there are a lot of teams that will not be able to stop it throughout the country. It is a really, really scary lineup if I'm an opposing pitcher.
Taylor hit the nail on the head. I mean, Cassandra Valdez is arguably the most exciting player to watch. The senior is excellent in the circle, yes, but I mean, 14 home runs, 47 RBIs on the year for Valdez, and again, another player we had the privilege of having on her, and Coach Bruce Lennington. But the most famous and I would say one of my favorite people that we've had on the podcast, or maybe not people so much, but Gus the Bat Dog for Our Lady of the Lake. You know, we talk about how many home runs they've hit. I mean, that boy Gus, I mean, he has been such a good boy there in West San Antonio, the best bat dog in the country.
Yeah, I can speak a little bit more on that story, too. Coach Lennington and Cassie actually talked about it in our interview with them. Once again, if you have the chance, go listen to that. It's a great story. Down there in San Antonio, actually, Gus is the adopted dog, but from head coach Bruce Lennington, actually was a stray dog running around campus for a while, and ended up just hanging out at the softball field, felt safe there, and over the course of time, they decided to go ahead and adopt and bring him out to home games. He even has a jersey number and a roster spot on their website. But they've set up through that, they've set up a great program. They actually, I believe it's one weekend in the conference series, they actually host a Adopt a Dog Day at the ballpark down there in Our Lady of the Lake. So it's turned into a really great thing, and really just a stroke of luck, like I said. And the team obviously loves him. And like Reagan said, he's gotten his workouts in this year with a lineup like that, just putting up some gaudy offensive numbers all season.
I got to say, you guys have done a phenomenal job covering softball this season. I know you guys just got started, but I even noticed that Brad Sigan, who is the communications guy for the entire NAI, reached out to you guys to thank you for the coverage. So as a fan, I want to tell you, and for all the fans, I want to tell you guys, thank you for the coverage you provided for NAI softball this season. I thought it was phenomenal.
Thank you. You know, that warms my heart. Taylor, I'm sure I can speak for you right here. It means so much to us to see how it has grown, not so much from a, you know, personal goal standpoint, but to see these athletes get the platform that they deserve.
Exactly.
And that they've deserved for so long, and for it to, you know, have the success that it's had. And again, like for Brad to give us that shout out, I mean, it's awesome. We love doing it. And yes, this is year one. But we're like, this is kind of something we say, like, hey, we're just getting started. Like, we want to grow the game for many, many, many years. We want to continue growing NAIA softball for, you know, a long, long time.
The last thing I wanted to ask you guys about is that World Series in Columbus. I had the opportunity to go only, well, one time. The NAIA does an absolutely marvelous job. Have you guys been to that stadium?
Yes.
Okay. Just talk about that stadium they use. What a great job they do, how beautiful it is there. If you at all can get down to Columbus and go to this World Series, it is one of the funnest weeks you'll ever have.
Man, well, Taylor, you want me to hit on it first?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, you've been there before, so.
Yeah, so Taylor's actually, this will be Taylor's first time this year getting there. But Bill, you know, this is a story that I've told many, many, many times, and I love telling it. So last year in Columbus was really my first experience, you know, being around and being immersed in softball. So you alluded to Suncast earlier. That's what I was in Columbus for. You know, a little sliding doors moment at the time. You know, Suncast was about a little over 2 months old. And, you know, Brad, communication director for the NAI, he allowed me media credentials there. And that's where I fell in love with the game of NAI softball because, yes, it is a beautiful stadium there, South Commons Field in Columbus, Georgia. You know, I'm a Georgia boy. I mean, I'm sitting here in my home here in Albany, Georgia, and I got Georgia Bulldog and Atlanta Braves stuff all over the place. And for it to be, you know, in my home state, it meant a lot. And, yeah. And Bill, that's where I fell in love with the game of softball. You know, seeing the energy, the fast pace of the game, how much the girls were into it, the family, the fans, everything. I was like, I can definitively say that is where I fell in love with the sport. And, you know, I like basketball. I'm a basketball fan, but I grew up loving baseball and football. Grew up playing football and loved baseball. Like I said, huge Atlanta Braves fan. But, you know, softball was the sport for me where I fell in love with kind of after I've been playing and everything. And man, it was just so awesome. I mean, the environment, you know, I said the environment, the stadium, and the facility there is incredible. The press box is huge. I mean, plenty of room. The grandstand, it makes it feel like a real deal World Series. It's a great stage. And look, I mean, that's something that the NAI does so well. I mean, look at right now, the happening as we speak, the in Mesa, Arizona for the golf championships. You know Kansas City well, the basketball championship, and then obviously the granddaddy of them all, if you will, Alan Lewis in Idaho. You know, the NAI does such a great job with their championship sites to give the athletes that experience, and Columbus is no exception.
Taylor, I want to ask the question to you just a little bit different. Because as you said, just getting started covering NAI, but you played NAI. For me, Taylor, what drew me to, I grew up in an NAI town, Oregon Tech, but what made me stick with it was the camaraderie, that family feel. You can know all the athletes, you can know all the staff, you know all the families, the mothers, the brothers, the sisters. And it's just, to me, it's just an incredibly large family. I know that's an overused term, but that's it for me. Talk about it from your viewpoint, both as playing and now covering NAI sports.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said it best right there. It's a true family feel, no matter where you go. Here, obviously, like we've said with softball, I mean, the state of Oklahoma is really known for softball at every collegiate level here, and the NAI is right up there with it. As a former baseball player in the NAI, obviously we've seen great things with NAI ball, started by the late Cody Butler, mm-hmm. and of course Robbie Gutierrez, who have built a phenomenal platform to cover the sport of NAI baseball. And like I said, as a former NAI baseball athlete, very appreciative of that. And through that, I mean, like you said, it's true family feel. And with social media platforms like we have now, like NAI baseball and yourself with hoops and ourselves with softball now, it's nice to be able to see every single university that we've talked about and just the family atmosphere. I mean, like you said, at Oregon Tech and the Mick family, I mean, it's a generation of Owls up there. Being in small towns, smaller markets, not a lot of media coverage to start. It's truly something amazing in the NAI, and quite frankly, you really don't understand it fully until you are either an athlete in it or a media member in it, things of that nature. And it really makes you fall in love with it. I know Reagan has the same feel for it, me as well. I mean, falling in love with NAI athletics as a whole, not just baseball, ever since I became an NAI athlete in 2017. It's a true family atmosphere throughout the entire NAI. And I know the athletes, every athlete will say the exact same.
Reagan, anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, Instagram, Twitter at NAIASB _ Twitter, Instagram, and then anywhere you listen to podcasts normally, iPodcast, Spotify, Google Podcasts, et cetera, you could find it there. And you know, the only thing that I have to add on, you know, myself still, you know, I got that good old COVID fifth year deal that I am going to use in my last year at Weber International to play football.
All right.
And you know, it's that camaraderie. It is that family feel. Now, yes, you have your rivals within your conference or whatever, but there is that, you know, family feel. It's like, hey, we're in this together, and you can really feel it with you, ourselves. John Cooper with NAI football, Robbie, and the late great, that I think we all, because they really set the standard for covering NAI athletics, Cody Butler. Man, it's just that family, and we just want to keep building the NAI in every way that we can. And you know, we love NAI softball, and hey, man, we love what we do, and yeah. That's really all I got. I mean, Taylor really summed it up beautifully there from an NAI athlete point of view.
Well, Reagan and Taylor, thank you very much. I really look forward to the tournament. Hey, thank you very much to Taylor and Reagan. That's NAISB _ on Twitter. They do a great job. Follow them this week. Follow the NAI Softball World Series. The softball game, as we said during the podcast, is very quick. And it's so much fun to watch. I'll just leave it at that. But there's also a lot of other NAI championships going on now. The track and field is going on. I know flag football just wrapped up. Baseball's going on. Whatever your sport is, make sure you follow these student athletes who train for this moment. And if you can get out to either watch these games in person or just pick up the webcast, it's never going to break you, because NAI Athletics is the best entertainment value in America.